Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Tyler gets teased and Jimmy drinks whiskey. Today's episode of Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to your ear holes by
Sneedy's Off-Road is your number one source for custom and aftermarket products for your 4x4, ATV, and side-by-sides. Quality parts that don't break your bank. If we don't have what you're looking for, we'll get it. Sneedy's Off-Road. The trail starts here.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome Bluetooth drive shafts are, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, folks. So I'm here today, your host, Tyler, and the other host sitting next to me is the one and only Mr. Jimmy Jet, James, Jim, Jimmy, Jimbo, Jim, Jim-a-lack-a-lickin. How are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing good. I'm doing very well. You know, while you're doing that intro, it reminded me of events that were ahead of us that I don't know how far we want to go, but I was happy to hanging out with the Wheeling Wine and Whiskey and the Mike and Max Off-Road Podcast.
Okay.
And we had to do our own intros. And so I got through it and I was like, and I'm your host today, Jimmy, and I'm here with my co-hosts. And I went around the table and told everybody's names and it was kind of like, and, yeah, and it was, nice. That was a lot of fun, but
nice.
Yeah. So, I'm doing good. I finally got a good night's sleep from the last few days where it's been.
You just had to get like fully exhausted to.
Oh my gosh. I think it was to a point where it's just like everybody knew. They're like, you look like shit. Like, what's wrong with you? You know? And,
Did you tell him you're a year older now and that's why?
Yeah, I know. I'm a whopping 39 and it's exhausting on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It was just I've had a long week, super long week.
Yeah, and I mean it was a normal time week. You didn't like time travel or anything, did you?
No.
Yeah. No. You just said it was a really long week. So.
Yeah. No, I didn't change to another area code or another time zone. That's what I meant.
Okay.
I did go to another area code, a few of them.
But, oh, nice. Okay.
Another time zone. So I didn't change time in that direction. But, I mean, okay. I think we talked about it, you know, a little bit ago where, you know, on Friday of like a week or so ago, I went to Pismo traveling around, you know, and then hung out down there and was sitting by a fire drinking some whiskey. And then I went up to a wedding and started drinking some whiskey and then came home.
And then you went to Vegas and started drinking some whiskey.
Oh, gosh.
No,
yes.
First, then you went by Jason's and drank some whiskey.
Yeah, I went by Jason's and drank some whiskey.
And then you went to Vegas and drank some whiskey.
Yes.
I see a pattern with you.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And nice. And all the nights were longer than they probably should have been.
Well, that just makes for, I don't know, entertaining stories later on is what it.
Oh, absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah. Before we get into your trip to Vegas, because that's exciting. I know that's going to have you're going to have a lot to talk about here.
Oh, absolutely.
With it.
Yeah. This might end up being split. We'll see.
We might split the episode. We'll see how long it goes. But yeah, we wanted to thank all the patrons out there. We have a couple of new ones.
Yay.
So Lee and Adam.
Hi, Lee and Adam.
Hi, Lee and Adam. Hi, Lee.
Highly Adam.
Highly Adam. So you guys are getting signed up for November's Gyms Month giveaway, which is the Freedom Ropes Recovery Kit. It's a synthetic winch line, 3/8 by 80 feet, and 2 7-inch by 1/2-inch soft shackles.
Yes.
So that's going on at the end of the month. We'll be announcing the winner first week of December sometime. So look into that. Make sure you are signed up for that giveaway tier on Patreon if you want to get in on that. It's a $210 value, so we're starting to get enough support through the Patreon and through other places that we're able to start upping the values and give more back to you guys. So it's really cool to see the progression here, and I hope you guys are enjoying it all. So And also check out Sneevy's Off Road. You guys have heard him now a few times in our intros. They're really cool because there's a lot of vendors out there, right? A lot of off road vendors out there.
I saw a lot of them.
Yeah, as you very well know, and you met some of them. There's a lot of them out there, and you know, not everybody. I don't want to say not everybody. A lot of them will specialize in one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of fun to meet the vendors that are like, "No, fuck that! I'll get you whatever you want. What are you looking for?"
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Sneevy's does. They get anything you're looking for, whether you have a Jeep, Toyota, a Ford Bronco. Say you're out on the trail and you break a drive shaft or you know an axle in your Bronco. Because you drive a Ford and you need to get some spare parts, you can go to Sneevy's. Say you're driving a Jeep and blow out a U-joint and you need some spare parts, you can go to Sneevy's. Say you drive a Toyota and you don't break anything and you just want like a nice sweater, you can go to Sneevy's and get a nice sweater. So, so yeah, he'll get you anything.
That was a good one right there.
He did. Yeah. See, who's got the jokes now, Jimmy? So yeah, Sneevy's, they'll get you anything, whatever vehicle you've got, whatever off-roading you're into. So whether you have side-by-sides, 4x4s, sand rails, whatever, they're the place to go to, and they'll beat any price out there. So if you're on the website looking around and you don't want to call and you're okay and happy with the price, then just put in the Snail Trail Ship, Snail Trail Free Ship as a discount code, and it'll get you free shipping on almost everything there. So if you find a better price someplace else, give him a call and he will definitely change your order price so that you do get the best price. So check him out. Really cool dude, really supports the off-road community. His family's out at a ton of off-roading events. I learned something new.
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
He does a Gear Wrench Tools giveaway every single month.
I heard about this.
Yeah. So I was talking with him a little bit and he goes, yeah, could you share our social media posts? We're doing a giveaway every month. I was like, wait, like every single month? He goes, yeah. And I was like, wait, is there a limit on this? How long are you guys going to be doing this? He goes, yeah, forever. What? So they're planning on doing a Gear Wrench Tool giveaway every single month for the unforeseeable future.
Dang.
So check him out on social media. Pay attention to those. We'll try and make sure we share them on our channels as well as we go forward so you guys see them all if you're following the Snail Trail 4x4 or 4x4 Toyota Tyler. So
what's his social media?
Sneevy's_offroad on Instagram. And his website is www.sneevysoffroad.com. So make sure that you click on the Instagram, the one with an underscore on there. He has a couple of different ones. Steve, if you're listening, you might want to check those out and get rid of them to delete confusion. But make sure that if you guys are all looking for the tool giveaways, it's the Sneevy's_offroad Instagram account. So, check him out. He's a really cool dude. He'll do some really cool stuff for any equipment you're looking for. So, let's see. Updates. Any other updates?
I had a few LED light videos come out. The twin stick video came out.
Nice.
For the most part, I think that's about it. I mean, I haven't been doing a lot of social media side of things because I've just been traveling so much lately.
Okay. You're a nomad. You're turning into the nomad.
Kind of. But for the most part, I'll be home the rest of the month.
Okay.
So you're the next one.
No, I'm leaving
traveling
for the rest of the month.
Right?
Yeah. We'll talk about that in the next episode. But
We got to teach you how to do stories.
I don't get stories on Instagram. Like, I don't look at other people's stories, and I don't really ever post stories.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is I get more views on my stories than I get likes on a post.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
We can talk about this a little
bit.
Yeah,
we'll have to talk about it later on. I need some more Instagram training.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're doing, I mean, you do a post every day, it seems like.
I try to. Well, I get up in the morning, and instead of just getting up and jumping out of bed, I'll pull over my phone because I need to check on all my emails and check on orders and check on a bunch of other stuff, and then I'll just post something on Instagram real quick. So
right. That's good. I mean, I'm not hitting every day on that aspect.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, I'm getting hate for the post I did today.
Really?
Yeah. When I welded up my exhaust finally.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I just took some pictures of it and put it up there. And some people were like, that's some pretty shitty welds. And like, well, whatever works. I guess if it works, it works. And mm-hmm. somebody else was like, XJ owners be like, oh, yeah, looking good.
You're nice.
And I was like, this is the second time I've welded unsupervised. Give me a break.
Right.
Assholes.
And it's thin metal.
It's, I don't know how, what gauge it is, but it's 1/8, less than an eighth.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a exhaust pipe, essentially.
Right. And you're having to go upsizes and downsizes.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought I did a pretty decent job for, like, it's a, I don't know, it started at a 1-inch, 1 1/4-inch diameter. So, I'm having to weld around that and start and stop a bunch.
Right.
And then getting stepped up and stepped down. And I don't know. I just had to get random step-ups that AutoZone had in stock
right?
to put on there. So it looks kind of pretty janky with all the step-ups in there. But
why'd you have to step up and step down?
Well, it wasn't a step up and step down. What it was so I had, it came off, say it was like an 1 3/4
mm-hmm.
outer diameter to 1 3/4 inner diameter, because say like the final downpipe was 1 3/4.
Got it.
And I didn't want to just like put it straight on. I wanted it inside a sleeve.
Okay.
Thinking for strength reasons. If it's sliding into a sleeve, then it'd be stronger than just putting it on, holding it there and welding it. Just because I'm inexperienced with welding. I don't know what the strength of welding is and everything. So yeah, that's what I did. So I had to get, it wasn't really a step up and step down. It was just went from a 1 3/4 outer diameter to a 1 3/4 inner diameter.
Right. So it's kind of just an extension too.
Kind of. Yeah. It almost just extended it more than anything. Functionally, it extended it. Yeah.
Right. And the reason you were doing that was to, put a little downpipe so that the exhaust wasn't hitting your shock.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so did you extend it past your shock, or did you just turn it down before the shock?
Oh, I got rid of the muffler.
Right.
So I don't have the muffler on that anymore. So it comes straight out of the catalytic converter.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a 6-inch section that the O2 sensor goes in, the downstream O2 sensor. And then I built the pipe from there. So from there to my shock, I had 4 feet.
Right.
Something like that. So I built, you know, the full thing I did was a foot, maybe a foot and a half at the most.
Yeah.
So I've got plenty of room before it gets to the shock.
Okay.
But yeah, I just downpiped it and dumped it right there.
Okay. Got it.
But anyway, so I'm getting grief there. The patrons on Facebook are calling me Kermit the Frog now.
Right. That's your own fault.
That's my own fault, though. I have nobody else to thank but myself. So
yeah.
And then I just got a tooth ground out.
Right.
So it's I'm living life.
Yeah. You're living the dream.
One nightmare at a time. No, it's still good. Everything's going well. So I'm having a good time with everything. The numbness is starting to wear off. So I literally, those of you who don't know, I just had a crown done, but there's a cap on it because they still have to mold the crown and put it back on later. And so I came straight from there to record here. So like half of my mouth is a little numb. It's starting to wear off and it's starting to get a little painful, but we'll see how it goes.
Did they give you any drugs?
No, they did not prescribe anything.
Oh, jerks.
So yeah. Enough about me though. I want to hear about SEMA.
Okay.
So let's take a quick break. And now that you guys have heard all the updates and what everything's going on, and then so grab some snacks, grab some coffee, grab some caffeine, grab I don't know, whatever else you do,
Excedrin, ibuprofen, or Tylenol.
Grab some drugs, and we'll be right on back after this quick break. Welcome back, ladies, gents, and kiddos, to today's campfire discussion. So, as most of you know, there was a really, really, really,
really,
really big event going on in Las Vegas this past week, and we are here recording on the Friday of the week of SEMA.
Yep.
So you literally, you went out to SEMA.
I did.
You got to hang out with a couple of our buddies.
Yes.
A few of our buddies.
Yep.
Mike and Max.
Yep.
And that's it.
Nope. I also hung out with Jason and Chris from Wheeling Wine and
Whiskey.
Well,
they're not our buddies, so
I forgot about that.
No, so you got to hang out with the three podcasts.
Yeah.
The trio.
Except
here, so.
Max wasn't there.
Max was not there?
No, it was just Mike.
I thought we were just talking and you said Max was there.
So there was an alternative Max.
Oh, interesting.
So
it was the Max from Trail 4R.
Yeah, one of the writers from Trail 4R, whose name is Max.
Yeah.
His Instagram's handle is Live to the Max.
Okay.
And he was there.
Okay.
And so I had, we at the house.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is sort of jumping ahead, but there was Jason, Chris, me, Mike from the Mike and Max podcast, and then Max
from Trail 4R.
Yeah.
Nice. So. That's cool. So you got to hang out with them, and you guys got to see a lot of stuff.
An insane amount.
I got to see a lot of pictures. I got phone calls from Kobe. With updates.
Yeah.
Which was pretty...
Continuously? Or just one?
Once a day, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Averaged out once a day. There was one day he called me, I think, three times, but...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But that was for some Morflate stuff that he saw an opportunity for, since he is the creator of opportunities, right?
Yep.
So, that was cool. I was pretty jealous. I'm still a little bummed that I was not able to go. But, you know, hey, I got to stay home and work on the rig instead, which was fun.
There you go.
So you guys were out there and you were there from what, Monday? Tuesday?
So Monday afternoon, I flew over to Vegas.
Okay.
And what was kind of funny was
Real quick.
Yeah.
On your flight to Vegas, was there a celebrity that you got to sit in front of?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was. So I was more or less going to say that.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd go as far as celebrity.
He's a local celebrity.
Local celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because he has a really nice FJ80.
Yeah, definitely. I was planning on driving this whole entire time, right?
Uh-huh.
And then just due to both of us being gone in times, the schedules said you need to come back faster than driving.
Yeah.
And because I was going to spend like the weekend down in LA and San Diego and go visit some old time friends and think and make a little vacation out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're like, nope, we got to work. and so I chose a flight and
adulting sucks.
I know, adulting does suck.
Man.
And so it was funny because I went to the bar because I was a little early and I was sitting back and drinking and talking to this guy that was from Sacramento and he worked in the tech industry and, you know, we were just shooting the shit. And then I was like, oh, crap, I've got to go. And he's like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, I'm going to Vegas. He's like, me too. What flight are you on? And I'm like, you know, this one. And he's like, me too. And I was like, oh, we got to go. And then, we walk on and there, the, reception person at the desk was like, you know, Jimmy and I forgot what his name was, John. And we're like, yep. And they're like, go on in, you know. And it was like, we're the last ones on. And so I'm walking down the plane and I'm like, look, you know, I was like row 19. So I was like 17, 18, 19. And I like... look up and there's no room for storage or anything. So, and I brought just a carry on and it was big. So I kind of like shoved it under the seat and squeezed it in there. And then while I was like doing all that, I looked back and then there was, Dimitri from, Stellar Built right behind me.
Yeah.
And, so that was fun. So he was like, where have you been? You know, like, we're waiting for you, you know? And I was like, I was having a beer.
Flight.
Yeah. And, that was fun. We talked quite an extensive length, pretty much the whole flight. My neck and my side started to hurt.
I was going
to
say, how long is that flight? It was 40 minutes? 45?
No, it was about an hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was twisted and turned like around like the whole time. Like I couldn't. Luckily, there was nobody next to me. So I wasn't like leaning into them. But it was like not a comfortable position to be in. But it was fun to talk to him. I haven't, you know, I've met him before once or twice and, you know, had a good long chat with him this time. So it was really cool.
That's cool. I still have not met Dimitri. So.
Oh, really?
No, I've heard a lot about him.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of pictures of his shop, and I'm like, I want to go in and tour his shop too.
Yeah.
I've seen the work that he does,
yep.
which is phenomenal work.
Yes.
I've seen lots of pictures of his FJ80 wheeling.
Which is a badass
Which
rig.
Is an awesome freaking FJ80.
Yeah.
But I still have not met the guy in person. And
yeah.
gotten a chance to ever say hello to him.
Well,
so.
I think, you know, by after talking to him for such an extensive period of time, he has so much knowledge. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to get him on the podcast.
Nice. Okay.
We're going to have good. To organize something, figure out a good time and...
Maybe we can get him on for episode 50 or yeah. 60 or something.
Or 70
50
or 80.
60.
Well, I met
Before
a lot. It, not jumping too far down the road and not giving anything away yet, but I met a lot of really cool people on this trip, and I hopefully yeah. I lined up one or two also interviews for us.
Nice. Look at you go.
Yeah.
The creator of opportunities.
That's Kobe.
Oh. Okay.
My business card said social media trailblazer.
Oh, okay. Nice. Okay, so cool. You had a fun chat with Dimitri from Stellar Built.
Yep.
All the way over to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What time did you get it? Because you left here...
My flight was at 6.
Okay, and so Vegas is still in the western
yeah,
Pacific
time
zone.
It was the same
time
zone. So, I mean, I landed at like 7:30.
Okay.
And then when I landed... Kobe was driving. They're like, we're coming in with a Hemi. And I'm like, we got a Dodge? Huh? And he's like, a big old Dodge. You know, like, what? You guys rented a truck?
So Chris rented the truck?
So Chris and Jason, or no, excuse me, Kobe was driving. Kobe, our patron. Did I say Chris? I apologize.
No, you said Kobe.
Yeah,
but
Kobe was
but
driving.
I just figured since it was a Dodge that Chris was the one that rented it.
Oh, no. It was Kobe rented it.
Oh.
Kobe was driving. Jason and Chris were in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, do you see us? I'm like, no. And they're like, we're just about to stop. And I was like, this red minivan? And they're like, yep.
That's funny.
They're like, hop in. We're going to drive by. And they like, somebody opens the passenger door in the
don't
front.
Even stop. You got to jump.
Yeah, they stopped. But so they were like, hurry. You know, and so like, I threw my bag in under my feet and jumped in. And then they're like, well, you can pass your bag back here if you want. I'm like, no, go. And they're like, and we drive on.
Uh-huh.
So that was a lot of fun. I've met Kobe a few times, met Jason a few times, met Chris only once before.
Huh.
Just at the Cal 4-Wheel convention that went on up here in Sacramento.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun, you know, throughout the week getting to know them and hanging out with them. So. We then drove back. We got an Airbnb, which they're trying to outlaw now in Vegas, by the way.
Oh, that's too bad.
And so it's really bizarre. Like, we had to do some finagling to be able to stay where we stayed.
Okay.
And because their Airbnbs are taken away from the hotels
that's
downtown.
What my guess was going to
right?
be.
Right. You know, and so instead of the hotels battling the game and lowering their prices, they're trying to outlaw the use of Airbnbs in Vegas.
Yeah.
Which is silly to me. Like,
yeah.
Where's the competition? Where's the friendly competition between, you know, companies and all this? So.
Yep.
But whatever. So we drove back. We drove to the house and we knew Mike was going to be there.
Okay.
And so we're like, is this the house? Is this where we're supposed to be? There's like a Nissan Sentra parked in the driveway. Where's his really cool Jeep or, you know, where's something badass that he has? And we're like, we went in and we're like, Mike? And he's like, did you see my badass car? We're like, what the heck? He's like, that car taught 5 people how to drive. We're like, what? He's like, I thought it'd be the perfect car for Vegas. Nobody's going to steal that car.
Yeah. That's funny.
And so, yeah, so this was the first time we got to meet Mike in person.
Okay.
He was just as wild and crazy and hilarious as he is on the podcast.
Nice.
Awesome gentleman. He was taller than I expected him to be, but everybody's taller than me, so it doesn't really necessarily
matter.
Yeah,
you're not the tallest of guys.
I'm not.
Who's
I'm not
taller,
necessarily.
You or Chris?
Probably Chris.
Really?
Probably.
Okay.
I'm 5'8", so I mean, if anybody's like closer to 6, they're taller than me.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, yeah. So, that was... pretty much Monday. That night we kind of just hung out and we had to run to the grocery store to get some coffee and some breakfast stuff. And Mike already bought all the whiskey and wine and stuff like that. And so we just started drinking, hanging out, talking, bullshitting, and then it was 1 a.m. And we're like, you know what? We're starting to get drunk and we should probably go to bed.
Yeah. We got to be up in 4 hours to go.
No, well, so the doors for SEMA opened at, I think, 9.
Oh, okay. So that's not bad at all.
Yeah. So we got a decent night's sleep, woke up, you know. Oh, and another thing was the house that they rented was a 5-bedroom. And then when we got there, there was 4 bedrooms.
That's weird.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, there was a little bit of miscommunication between the person renting and the rest of the group.
Oh, interesting.
There wasn't any miscommunication from the person, and I mean person renting the house, Kobe.
Wait, what?
Kobe was renting the house.
He's the one that
and then he didn't really
rented it on for the Airbnb.
Yeah, and he didn't communicate it to us properly.
Oh.
There was 4 bedrooms with 1 room where that can have a blow-up bed.
Oh, okay.
And so we're like, what the hell?
So there was 5 possible beds.
Right.
Good and, job, Kobe.
Yeah. And so Mike, he's like, dude, this might sound super weird, but I absolutely love sleeping on the floor.
Nice. Okay.
And we're like, okay.
Cool. More power to him.
And so he took a downstairs bedroom or downstairs game room because it had a foosball table and a pool table. Mm-hmm. And he slept on the floor.
Nice. Okay.
And we're like, wow. Okay. And so we all got our beds and we went to bed.
Nice.
And then, so we woke up fairly early in the morning. Mike had already.
No shenanigans while people were sleeping?
No.
No. Okay.
Not any of the nights.
Okay.
Or at least not that I know of. But so Mike did a little bit of behind the scenes stuff on Monday because he drove into town early. Mm-hmm. So he knew where the media pass location was because nice. He had a media pass. So as soon as we got to Vegas the next day after waking up, eating breakfast, you know, cleaning ourselves up and driving out there to find not a $50 parking lot.
Uh-huh.
We found a cheaper one that was $40, which is still incredible. But
for the full day?
Full day, which isn't too bad.
Yeah.
And we're all splitting it, so it's not going to be that bad. But still, it's like, what? That's still crazy.
I mean, that's like the average for Bay Area.
Yeah, I know.
$40 to $50 a day for parking.
Right.
Yeah.
So the first thing we did was go to get my media pass because I couldn't go into any of the other buildings anyway, yeah. Right? Because I didn't have a pass. And everybody else got shipped by mail their pass because they're just somewhat general attendees.
Okay.
But media needs to see
show
you in person. You need
everything.
To give them your ID. You need to prove you are who you are.
So what's the difference between a media pass and a general
so not
admission
a,
pass?
Not a lot, actually. That's a good question. So what I found the benefit for the media pass was there was pretty much two big things. Three big things. One, it's free.
Okay.
So I didn't have to pay for it because I'm going to be covering SEMA and doing things for them, right? Two, you get to cut some of the lines.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Like which lines? You mean to get
like
into the buildings?
To get into the buildings.
Okay.
So and they don't do a bag check. They don't do, you know, a few different things. Most of the time, I mean, I think I got stopped once or twice for them to check my bag, but most of the time they're like, yeah, go ahead.
Nice.
You know, and three, you can go in a little bit earlier than general admission.
Okay.
So like if you want to get specific photos or thing, you know,
you
maybe
get in
you
there
can
before the crowds.
Yeah,
the
exhibitors can go in, I think, up to an hour before.
Uh-huh.
And then media can go in about a half an hour before. And so if you wanted to like go there and get a, you know, an interview with somebody, it's not as loud.
Yeah, okay.
Things like that.
So get an interview or get pictures of
with
the exhibits
without crowds everywhere and things like that. So,
nice.
Otherwise, it wasn't much different. It wasn't like I was allowed to be doing photos and photography and videos.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody was still kind of doing that.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think that a lot of people were allowed to have like really nice video cameras and things like that if you didn't have the video.
Okay.
Side of things, but everybody was allowed to use their cell phone.
Yeah.
So, and the cell phones today are almost just as good as like, really, I mean, they're as good as any video camera I have. So, you know, it's not like a RED or, you know, super high end shooting 10K or whatever, but, yeah. So, I mean, the big benefit was free. And then cutting lines, and then you could go in a little bit earlier.
Uh-huh.
I never used that advantage. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So you got in there. So everybody went out. Did you guys just all stay together the whole time? Or
not the first day we kind of did.
Okay.
For the most part, we did. So first day, it's the second day, first day at SEMA. So we went and got the media pass. Also, the media has their own center. Well, they'll do lectures and things like that. And they also have like a lounge area, mm-hmm. and they give free coffee, water, and some like very basic food stuff.
Okay.
So it was one of the days we went and got lunch and we went up to the media area. So, cause we could sit down yeah. and relax and it wouldn't be so crazy. So after I got my media pass, we went, that was in the South Hall on the second floor. Okay. So SEMA takes around 3 convention centers that are wow. all right next to each other.
That's crazy.
And like, it is so crazy. And the South Hall is an upstairs and a downstairs.
Okay.
And so, and then there's all kinds of stuff outside.
Yeah.
Like there was this humongous tent that had the overlanding experience, which is a new feature this year.
Okay.
Right. And so it's like, it's just so expansive. It's unbelievable. Uh-huh. With cars, like a normal car show where they're just parked like next to each other, uh-huh. like everywhere outside.
Wow.
So it's just unbelievable.
Can anybody get to the outside stuff?
Anybody can go to the outside stuff.
Okay.
But if you want to go indoors, you have to
pass of some
yep.
kind.
Yeah. Okay. A general admission or
the only way
to attend to go into the buildings, it's only for people that are in the industry.
I see.
Right. A normal person can't necessarily go
so
buy
the
a ticket.
The outside is for the consumer show and tell.
Yeah.
The inside is for industry networking, essentially.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And like outside had a hooligan drift area. It had like this massive Ken Block drift area.
Okay.
And it had this BMW Continental Tire Experience drifting area.
Three drift areas
where they were doing something crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
It also had, I'll include the overland experiences was outside.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had to have a pass to go in that one, but okay. they didn't have a metal detector or anything, so I'm not entirely okay. sure. It had the Ultra 4 stuff outside. Hmm. It had an immense amount of bro-dozers outside. it had all kinds of just, like, all kinds of cars and trucks and stuff. And then there was a parking lot out back mm-hmm. that had, like, all kinds of cars and trucks and stuff.
Yeah.
And then there was parking. You could pretty much walk around any parking lot in that area because people drove really cool stuff to go to SEMA.
To go see it, yeah.
You know.
I heard a lot of the bro-dozers this year did not have front drive shafts.
I saw probably one or two that didn't.
Okay.
That was one of the things I looked at was like,
yeah.
One of the things I enjoy about SEMA is trying to find the flaws.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? or that's one of the things I did enjoy.
Uh-huh.
And there's not a lot.
Uh-huh.
I mean, out of the mass amount of vehicles,
out of everything,
all the thousands
there.
Of vehicles
okay,
there,
yeah.
you find like 5.
Small percentage.
You know? But yeah.
Did you find the one that had a flexible landscaping, flexible pipe to connect the pinion flange with the drive shaft because the drive shaft wasn't long enough?
No, I didn't see that.
That was funny.
But to be honest, I know that. So there was a lot of people were putting the photo out there that had like this really shitty weld on this like corner angle piece.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw the photo.
Mm-mm.
And then everybody was like, it's on this truck. And uh-huh. I went and I looked around it. And then I went to look at the photo. Uh-huh. And the background of that photo is not where that truck is.
Okay.
Though the color is correct
yeah.
of the part. And so I honestly don't think that that photo was at SEMA.
Oh, interesting.
Or at least I didn't. I mean, it wasn't on that truck.
Yeah.
And somebody was saying, I bet you the owner of that truck said it was on his truck.
So that more people would go over and look at it. That's funny.
And I don't know if that was true or not.
False,
yeah.
broken information or false right. information about bad stuff.
Yeah. So, so after I got the media pass and some coffee, cause I was tired and had a few shots probably lingering around inside of me. We went to the second floor of the South Hall.
Okay.
Which is the 4x4 area.
Okay.
And we, for the most part, we stayed together really well inside of there.
Mm-hmm.
Like occasionally somebody would veer off and go look at something real quick, and then they would, like, cause we, and then we'd all meet up, but, okay. we were kind of just, we're going down aisle by aisle by aisle. So you, if you kind of left, you could just come back to the aisle and walk down the aisle and catch back up. You know, but it had, I mean, everybody was there, right? You know, anybody that you can think of in the off-roading industry was there. There was all kinds of stuff, really cool rigs. I mean, you had vehicles on the second floor, you know, up there. You know, and it's just, it's not like a tiny room. It's like this ginormous, massive area.
Yeah.
And so we just walked around that area, saw a whole bunch of things, like Milwaukee was in there, ARB, Warren, you know, Dometic, Smitty Built, you know, Rough Country, you know, Tough Stuff or Best Top, and, you know, Bolt and Gear Wrench was not in that hall. You know, but there's just all kinds of things up there.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah.
You really are. You just run all around, you know, like, ooh, look at this. Ooh, look at this. Ooh, look at this. And so it's like crazy hard for me to go, well, there's this one cool thing, you know, because it was like all these cool things. And then they kind of get washed out, you know, because it's like,
there's so many.
So many.
Like, was there a lot of new stuff? Or was it just a lot of, like, showing off what these companies do?
Yeah, good question. So, in that hall, I could maybe count 5 Toyotas.
The whole hall? So, just the second floor?
Well, okay. So, on the second floor, there was, maybe a max of 10 Toyotas. I was thinking Tacomas. But there was probably 10 Toyotas from 4Runners to some Land Cruisers to Tacomas.
Okay.
On that whole entire hall.
How many Gladiators were there?
The joke that we had was there was at no point in for the whole entire expo, if you stopped and did a 360, how many Gladiators could you see?
Yeah.
Right? It was Gladiators everywhere. So a lot of it, like for me, like looking for Toyota stuff, there wasn't a lot.
Okay.
Because here's a new lift kit for your Gladiator. Here's a new bumpers for your Gladiator. Here's this other thing for your Gladiator, which totally makes sense, right? Because I think I talked about it a little bit on the Wheeling Wine and Whiskey podcast that we recorded there. So make sure to go check that out, because that's like we recorded for 3.5 hours. So I don't know what they're going to do with it, but they're going to have to cut it up and figure it out. Uh-huh. And we had a few beverages, which is perfect for their podcast.
Yeah.
But we said that, I forgot where I was going with this. So I was saying on their podcast that the Gladiators, this is their first year out, right? This is the new thing. This is a new and shiny thing. So of course people are going to be displaying that. You know, Tacomas came out in 2016. 4Runners came out in like 2013 or 14.
Yeah.
Same with Tundras, right? On all these, so those platforms are fairly old, and all the new shiny things for those there's not a lot of them, right? So it makes sense that the Gladiators were super popular, JLs were super popular, and old school Broncos were very popular.
I saw those.
Because the pictures. New Bronco is supposed to be coming out very soon. Right. So people are promoting the old school Broncos to try to, you know, go, hey, with the old school stuff, we're going to have a lot of the new school stuff.
Yeah.
So, which I love the old school Broncos. So I was super stoked to see all those.
Nice.
So in that hall, I mean, we walked around, we saw a lot of stuff. Like Dometic has a whole new line of fridges coming out. They have a 50 or like a 65 liter or something massive that has a freezer section completely separate from the fridge section.
Okay.
Dual climate controls. Uh-huh. They also make little ones that for like tiny little, like one day lunch packs, you know, or something like that, you know, and so they have all kinds of things. Factor 55 stopped by their booth, said hi to them. They had a really cool soft synthetic line snatch block.
Yep. I was looking at those.
That was really rad. And I guess it won some sort of award for SEMA.
Yeah.
So that was rad. That was
I really want one of those, by the way, like a synthetic snatch block, synthetic rope snatch block.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It for me, that was one of the coolest things I saw there.
Okay.
Because it was not anything like a normal snatch block. Mm-hmm. It looked like a donut.
Yeah, it's a metal donut on a synthetic loop, mm-hmm. synthetic rope loop.
Yeah.
And then what's cool about their snatch block is it has these like little silicone fingers,
nubs
yeah. that come down on the outside of the ring that keeps the rope on your donut.
Right. So if the rope goes slack for mm-hmm. any reason, you don't have to like it helps hold it in. Like yeah. it could still possibly come out, but yeah. it does help hold it in a lot. And so, yeah. And then it looked, I mean, it's not like anything I've normally seen. Like you would use a soft shackle to wrap around the mm-hmm. inside of the donut, right? So there's no openings at all, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, you know, they're talking about low friction problems and things like mm-hmm. that. So it was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was kind of the South Hall, mm-hmm. the top of it for sure. There's just a lot to see. And I think we started like 9:30 or something like that. Uh-huh. And we were in there until 2 p.m. when I had a meeting with Gear Wrench.
Nice.
So, and I don't think we made it through like all of the hall.
No.
You know, so it's just crazy to be. And then we didn't even eat lunch yet. You know, it's like, you know, we were up there for like 5 or 6 hours
uh-huh.
just on that hall,
uh-huh.
walking around, seeing all the cool trucks. Mm-hmm. Like there was a Ford Control. There's this, was it like a medium blue colored forward control quad cab Jeep.
Nice.
With a rooftop tent on the back. And it was so pretty. I love those things.
Uh-huh.
And you know, one of the things that somebody admitted that there was more rooftop tents in the four wheel drive section than there's ever been. And they don't know if it was like, oh, there's an overland experience thing mm-hmm. going on, so let's bring more overlanding in here, or is it, you know, it's somewhat just becoming more of a four-wheel drive thing.
I think it's becoming more of a four-wheel drive thing. I also think that, you know, with the how popular the Gladiator is becoming, being a truck platform,
mm-hmm.
You can now put rooftop tents on Jeeps and still, you know, not have to worry too much about right. Center of gravity issues.
Yeah. Right.
So, I would assume every Gladiator there had a rooftop tent on it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
A lot of like, here's new roof racks for your Gladiator, right? Bed racks. You can add a rooftop tent on it. Mm-hmm. Bed rack, you can put a rooftop tent on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Smitty Built had a Tacoma in it as well. And they were showing their new bed rack that had doors inside of mm-hmm. it on the sides.
Nice.
That you could put rooftop tents on. And it was like, that's pretty rad.
Yeah.
You know? Kobe and I ran off to go to the Gear Wrench booth, which was in the main hall.
Okay.
So we had to leave the South Hall, walk down the road a while, go to the main hall. Or wait, it was in the North Hall, not the main hall. So we had to walk down the road, check out all these awesome rigs again, go all the way down, and we went to the Gear Wrench booth, and I walked right in and happened to walk right up to the guy, Paul, that I needed to speak to.
Oh, nice.
To.
Perfect.
Like, you know, I was walking into the booth going to go ask somebody like,
hey,
I need to talk to Paul. Is he around? And, you know, it's like I walk up to this guy and I look down to say, because we're all wearing badges, right? Uh-huh. And it has our names on it and whatnot. We both look down to get the name and see who it is. And I go, hey, Paul. You know, and he was like, hi, Jimmy, how's it going? You know, and it was nice. Like, you know, instead of me going like, hey, I'm looking for Paul.
Yeah.
And so spoke to him for a quick second. And he was more of they have a company that does marketing that helps them do marketing.
They have a third party marketing outsource.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he was that.
Okay.
And so he was like, let me introduce you to Jason. Jason's going to walk around and show you all the new tools and parts and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, I walked around with Jason and he was like, these are the bolt biters. I'm like, yeah, I've done a video on that. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, then I don't need to show you a lot, except, you know, we're expanding it a little bit more and doing, I'm like, awesome. And then he walked us around and showed us the electronic torque wrench,
nice.
Which is really cool. It's accurate. Like your digital gauge, your mm-hmm. digital air gauge for Morflate, you know, theirs is accurate to two, foot pounds of pressure throughout the entire scale from zero to whatever it goes up to.
That's a nice thing about digital gauges versus analog gauges. And what doesn't matter whether it's a water gauge, air gauge, apparently torque wrench gauges, they don't have like a sweet spot of the gauge. Usually dial analog gauges, like the middle of your scale is where it's going to read accurately.
Right.
The further away from middle you get, the less accurate it's going to read.
Right.
And that's what the nice thing about digital is, they usually read consistently across the entire thing.
Right.
So,
they're accurate almost the entire time.
Yeah.
Within 2% down to the 10th or 100,000s, 10,000s, something like, you know, or it's something crazy.
Yeah.
Is
it 120?
It is 120
clicks.
Yep. And
teeth? That's what it is.
120 teeth on the 3 degrees of rotation to get a click. and the screen goes from red to green. So you get a visual identification that you're in the right spot. And when you get to the right torque, there's like a small little vibrator in the handle.
Oh, nice.
Because they're like, a lot of times if you're working in the shop, it's super loud and you can't hear what's going on, and there's an audible sound, for it also. So now you have the audible sound when you're like, it'll go beep, beep, and then it'll go beep when you're in the right area. It'll go from red to green, and the handle will vibrate.
How long does the battery last in it? Is it rechargeable?
I don't know, but all it does, I'm not sure if it's rechargeable or what kind of batteries it uses now that you bring that up, but you just unscrew the base of it, which it's a metal base too. So if you happen to drop it, it's not going to break the plastic thing that's at the bottom.
Okay.
But then that's where the battery pack would go into, is right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause, I just had to go out because I don't have a torque wrench.
Okay.
I didn't have a torque wrench.
Right.
And, you know, I've been using the gear wrench one in the Snail Trail shop, which is super nice. I love that thing. And I was like, well, I don't really have an option to buy a gear wrench, torque wrench right now.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you know. And so I was like, well, I need a torque wrench. So I just went down to Harbor Freight while I was picking up some other stuff. I was like, screw it, I'm just going to buy one of these real quick. And I hate it now.
Because
what I used to use all the time. And I hate it now that I've gotten used to using the gear wrench one.
The gear wrench one, right.
So I'm like, well, shit, okay, I'll wait until we can buy another one and get another one, and then get that and use that for my home, and then keep the Harbor Freight one for trail usage or whatever else if I'm going to beat it up or have to worry about it being stolen or something.
Right. Yeah. No, I understand that completely.
Yeah.
It is nice. And now I want one of these electronic ones.
Yeah.
So we'll see what we can arrange. And then we walked around the corner and they showed us their new line of just normal ratchet wrenches.
Okay.
They are moving it up from, I think it was at 84 to 90 teeth. That's their base ratchet wrench now.
Wow.
And they were saying that it's actually stronger. They went from some internal dual setup to a single setup. And it made it stronger with more teeth, and they have a slim, very super slim head, so it can slide into tighter places, and that helps them with the dual setup to the single setup. It made where you're able to make the head smaller, height-wise, in the direction that you put the socket, and then I don't know how to explain that. How would you explain?
No, I get it. I'm just laughing because of all the words you're using.
Yeah.
And I'm a 5-year-old mentally, so.
Got it. Sorry.
You know, when you just start talking about sliding into tight places goes way somewhere else.
Yeah, so. And the small head.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, that too. I'm used to that, so that goes along with it. So.
Right.
Dick.
And then they're doing an all metal version, a version with silicone handle.
Nice.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, I know. I was waiting for that one.
A silicone shaft.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, quarter inch to half inch sizes and things like that.
Have you seen, I saw somewhere on social media, I couldn't remember what it was now, and I can't find it anymore, but it's a wrench that looks like a line wrench, right?
Okay.
So it has a slot in it, in the head of the wrench, but you put it over your nut or put it over your line, put it on the nut, and then it's a ratcheting as well.
I haven't seen that.
So as you ratchet, a little thing comes out of the head and covers the gap, and then it ratchets as much as you need, and then you can just slide it back and pull it, go off and pull it off your line.
That's pretty cool.
So it's a line wrench. It's a ratcheting line wrench. I'm like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I can't find them anymore now. So.
No, I haven't seen that. So then, back to gear wrench, they took me around. They showed me their lights.
Okay.
They have a whole line, a different variety of lights.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed me they have a heated jacket, sweatshirt, and fleece line. That was really cool. And then
what about gloves?
I don't know if they. Well, I don't know about heated gloves.
Uh-huh.
I know that I think they do have gloves.
They have regular gloves. I'm curious about the heated gloves, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
And that was pretty much all that they were kind of showing off. And I really want a heated sweatshirt now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's no heating besides, like, this massive propane heater that I have for the shop. And to have, a heated sweatshirt would be so nice.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. Jason has a DeWalt.
Yeah, heated jacket.
That just takes one of their 18-volt batteries or the 20-volt ones.
That's so interesting. Normal one that you would clip into a bottom of a
The 20-volt ones, okay. You just go and you can put it into the pocket inside the jacket, and that's what powers the jacket.
Oh, wow.
So you can just use one off your tools.
Yeah, this one, the battery pack was built into the jacket.
Okay.
You could charge it with USB. It takes something like 8 hours to get the full charge.
Mm-hmm.
It had three modes, low, medium, high. On high, it would run for 4 hours.
Wow. That's impressive, actually.
Yeah. And then on low, it'd run for like 10 or something, you know? I think their thought is like when you're done with the day, you plug it in and then it charges all night long and, you know, you just grab it the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then after that, I went back and saw Paul and I had a meeting with Paul. We sat down and, the big thing that I was trying to get to him was where is the advantage for people that are listening to the podcast or watching my YouTube channel to go and purchase something.
Yeah.
For them. Like how there's no benefit for, there's no other way besides like Fastenal or Amazon to buy their tools.
And Amazon doesn't carry the full line. The only place I've really found that is nationwide that carries the full line of gear wrench tools is Fastenal.
Right.
And I'm like, so, okay, people go to Fastenal, but then how do they know that we're recommending people to go there? I mean, there's no trackability. There's no incentive for people to go and end up getting gear wrench other than taking our word for it all. But yeah, that's I think a pretty big problem that you and I have talked about.
Yes.
It,
so, definitely.
Yeah.
And it was funny because he was like, oh, that's interesting. Nobody's ever really brought that up.
What?
And I'm like, how is that possible?
Interesting.
You know, and, you know, and I was like, well, you know, because the benefit of marketing us trying to help, you know, them giving us free tools.
Yeah.
So we could show off how awesome their tools are for people to be interested in the tools, then to possibly go purchase them if they choose to, to show that we sent them in that direction.
Exactly.
Is a benefit for both us and them, because then they know that they provided us with something that we then return the favor kind of marketing wise to them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to track that. So that's something that they're going to be working on
cool.
their end.
Good.
And then we just talked about like, what else do I need in the shop? Where's the direction of Snail Trail going? What's happening, you know, and things of that nature. So
nice.
Yeah. So it was a good meeting.
I like it.
Yeah. It was fun. So after that, I went to lunch.
And that was like at what, 4?
Like 3 something.
Okay.
So grabbed a quick bite to eat, walked around a very small bit of the North Hall, and then contacted Jason and Chris and said, where are you guys?
Okay.
And they were now on the first floor of the South Hall. So we walked all the way back there. And the first floor of the South Hall was pretty much primarily wheels and tires.
Oh, really? Like the full thing?
The whole thing.
Did you find any 17-inch by 10-inch alloy Toyota lug wheels?
No.
With I didn't 4-inch look. Back spacing?
No.
Dang.
I was looking for beadlock rims, and there wasn't even a lot of those.
That's too bad.
And unfortunately, I mean, because it is a wheel and tire thing, you know, and it's like, there was like a lot of 20s with crazy designs.
and for all the bro-dozers out there.
And for all the lowered cars and the, like, mm-hmm. you know, the street rod scene. And, you yeah. know, we're kind of a niche where we want beadlocks.
Yeah.
right? and almost all the, like, bro-dozers and hot rods and all lowered yeah. cars and all these other vehicles, that all the other types
95% of the market doesn't want beadlocks.
Doesn't want, yeah. you know, what we're interested in. So, what was being shown was 95% not really interested mm-hmm. in what I wanted to check out.
Yeah.
But the Mickey Thompson booth was there. The, you know, the Cooper booth was in there. The Yokohama one was outside. The Aturo one was outside. The, but there was, I mean, there was mm-hmm. a bunch of them inside. Mm-hmm. Then the Mickey Thompson one had two really cool things in there. Two interesting things. They had their like 58-inch ginormous oh, new, yeah. I don't know what the, it was like their new mud terrain tire, but I don't know what it's called. And it was like literally up to my shoulder or something. You know, it's
well,
massive.
58, that's almost 6 feet. That's 5'8".
Is
58
it?
58 inches? Yeah, because 60 inches, 60, sorry, it's 5'10".
Okay, so it couldn't have been that tall because I was taller than it.
No, sorry. 5 feet is 60 inches.
Okay.
So if it was 58, yeah. that means it's 4'10".
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
Where's our
Constantine? Yeah, we need you. yeah, I saw that.
So I mean, yeah. it's like literally up to my shoulder.
Yeah,
it's massive. and then they had a, they called it the Mickey Sticky.
Okay.
And it was their sticky tire uh-huh. of that style. And we could literally reach up and grab the corner lug and squeeze it.
Are you like, serious?
It was so soft.
Oh, jeez.
And it was funny because I called Jason and I said, hey, where are you guys at? And he's like, we're squeezing Mickey Thompson tires. That's what he said. Or something like that. And I went over there and they're like, squeeze it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, you could like literally move the lug around. It was so soft.
Wow. Okay.
So it was pretty crazy. Went and checked out Cooper Tire, had a few new tires coming out, went to look at them. They're kind of like a hybrid tire, mm-hmm. you know, a mud terrain exterior, like good sidewalls and lugs, strong
their
lugs.
Their new on tire or just Cooper in general?
Their new tire.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it has sort of an all-terrain style-ish in the middle.
Like the Patagonias, pretty
kind
much?
Of like the Patagonias, okay. yeah. And then their STT Pro or mm-hmm. SST Pro.
STT Pros.
STT yep. Pros were out and they had them on a Jeep on 40s. You know, mm-hmm. it was cool looking out front. That was cool. And then, yeah, we walked around, checked out a bunch of rims. And then, for the most part, at that point in time, Jason and Chris were trying to get some photos with the booth babes.
Of course.
Yeah. So,
did they have an official photographer with them to,
not this
to
time.
Help
no.
grease the gears there?
No, it was pretty much Kobe.
okay.
Kobe was with sort of like the assistant for everybody in this trip. So, yeah. Okay. Mike had a really nice camera there. So, occasionally he was snapping some good photos. But, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, for the most part, after that, we pretty much decided to go back home.
Okay.
And that was good because we came back. We were able to relax a little bit, chill. Mm-hmm. We had a little bit of time before Kobe and I were going to go to the Gear Wrench After Hours party, mm-hmm. which was at the Paris Eiffel Tower restaurant.
Nice.
So that was fun.
That's really cool.
So we, you know, I changed my clothes. One of the things I did that was so amazing was I changed my shoes and socks.
Oh, yeah.
Just after walking around all day,
yeah.
you know, and just to kind of like take your shoes and socks off and then put another pair on, mm-hmm. it was like, I could walk around for another 18,000 steps. I think I walked 18,000 steps that first day.
That's not bad.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. So, we showed up at the Gear Wrench booth or the Gear Wrench party, open bar.
Nice.
So we had a few drinks. ended up meeting this really cool guy. He calls himself the Hot Rod Hippie.
Okay.
He's a metal fabricator, builder, and he does a lot of like English wheel metal, like building of fenders and things like that, okay. and showing people how to build things out of their garage or this tiny shops with basic mm-hmm. tools, kind of what we do in essence, but all hot rod
different
based.
Different genre, yeah.
yeah. And then I was like, so where's the hippie thing come in? He's like, I'm vegan. I believe in a lot of, you know, hippie ways and things like that. But I like doing all these cool hot roddy things, you know? So I was like, okay. Cool. So, I haven't checked out any of his videos yet, but that's sort of things that I'm kind of interested in. Mm-hmm. Like I want to learn kind of how to do some of that, you know, mm-hmm. and if I ever need to, it's like, I'm definitely going to be checking him out. So nice. Yeah. And he was really cool. We pretty much talked like almost the whole time with him. The media guy for Gear Wrench came by and, the one that runs their Instagram account and some other things. And I talked to him for quite a while and then, met a few other people and mm-hmm. we took off. And, when we left, they gave us like a parting gift in a way.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh.
And, so I'm actually going to give you part of the parting gift.
Oh, really? I get something during Jim's month? This is incredible.
I know. This is weird, huh? So I hid it in a Vans box because I didn't want you to see what's over here. And some Gear Wrenchy stuff.
All right. So there's some tissue paper and a set of bolt biters. Nice. I will definitely need these.
Yep. The 8-pack of bolt biters.
Yep. So this has... What sizes are in here? A 7, an 8mm or 5/16, a 10, 11, or 7/16.
It's probably
I can't see
back.
The next one. Okay, so a 7 and 8mm and 1/4-inch drive, and then a 3/8 drive, and a 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 16. So, nice. That's really cool. So, I'll be using these, I'm sure, at some point.
Oh, yeah. It's just a good thing to have around, even if you just leave them in the shop, you know, because you'll end up needing them at some point.
And this next item is a compact work light. So it looks like it will swivel open. It has a USB charging ability. It's magnetic, which is going to be awesome. I could have really used this when I was finishing up my exhaust. I ended up remembering I had a little, like, a DeWalt flashlight that plugs into my batteries.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to kind of sit it on the ground and gooseneck it to get it just the right spot. But it's it's a spotlight rather than a floodlight.
Yeah.
So I was like, had to keep moving it around as I was working under the rig at night.
Sure.
So this is going to be awesome. That's exciting.
Yeah. And then there were the other things that were in there was just like a small, tiny single screwdriver with like a pocket clip. Uh-huh. Like, so you could keep it around.
And your pocket protectors.
Yeah. There was a Yeti can koozie.
Okay.
And then it was all handed out in a small little like refrigerant bag, cool bag. Cooler bag. There's
like
the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. Like a lunch pail kind of thing?
Yeah, like
an insulated lunch pail.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So they didn't hand out a digital torque wrench?
No, unfortunately
not.
That's too bad. Yeah. So so we went there, hung out there, got the goodies, met some really cool people,
nice.
Ended up, for the most part, going back to the house and having a few more drinks.
Uh-huh.
And went to bed.
Nice. So. What did you guys have for dinner? Because I know that Chris and Jason and Kobe are all big cooks. They love to cook.
Yeah. So Kobe and I didn't eat dinner that night.
Oh, really? Because you had lunch so late? Or?
We just, it was go, 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 go. And we...
Oh, and what time did you get back from the party? Like, when did that end?
That went from 7 to 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So, no dinner.
They didn't have any leftovers for you
in
the house?
There was appetizers and things at the... No, they went to Fremont Street.
Oh, okay.
And went downtown and had some drinks and went to a club and had some really good food.
Okay.
And so, yeah. And then, but they had like little appetizers and things coming around at the event.
That's
so
party.
We snacked, but we didn't eat.
Yeah.
But we did drink. And so we were feeling pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Nice. And so that's what, day one?
Yeah, that was day one.
Day one. And you were there for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, like half a day Thursday kind of thing.
So,
okay, well...
Well, that day one at SEMA, we'll say.
Okay.
Because right? Day one I flew to Vegas the trip for me,
So that was day one, day two overall, but we are just right around an hour.
I agree with you where you're going to go. a very small continuation. So when we got back to the house, Max was there.
Max, Trail 4R Max.
Yes. Okay. And I messaged him and called him and I was like, hey, there's been a slight miscommunication on the beds. We don't have a bed for you, you know?
Okay.
But there's a gate to RV storage on the side of the house. And he was driving down and he's got a overlanding rig. You can just pull your rig in there and let's pop your tent. You happen to sleep in your tent, but you can use all the amenities and everything inside.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, cool, man. Sounds that good. Yeah. And so we got back to the house and he was there. And I've met him before, but then, Kobe got to meet him. And then when everybody else got back, we all met Max. And that's when Max came into the picture.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to tie that last little
Max.
Bit. Yeah. The alternate Max.
The alternate Max came in.
Yep. Definitely. So, nice. Yeah. And he was down there. He's going to do a few articles for Trail 4R about SEMA. So,
okay. Yeah. Very cool. Is he still down there or was he just down there for the week? Through Thursday.
He was there. He stayed all day Thursday. And then today, Friday, which is when we're recording this, he's actually going to drive up to Death Valley and go camping.
Oh, nice. So, okay.
Yeah.
That's a fun trip. Death Valley is awesome to go camping and driving around. So, well, cool. Well, we are just over an hour.
Yeah.
So we're going to split this since we're only on day one.
Right.
We're going to split this episode into two episodes. So make sure you come back. The next episode for SEMA is going to air a week from today when you guys are listening it. So next Monday at the next campfire discussion. So make sure you catch it then. For the rest of everything that happened at SEMA for day two and day three. So check that out. Check out Wheeling Wine and Whiskey and the Mike and Max's Off-Road podcast. They're a lot of fun. If you like Wheeling or whiskey or wine, you'll love Wheeling Wine and Whiskey.
Yep.
And if you like hearing about some pretty interesting builds and stories of off-roading and building your vehicle and just doing weird things like cutting and making a removable top for a Jeep Liberty, go listen to the Mike and Max's Off-Road podcast. So it's fun hearing the stories that come out of interesting minds, so, and what they do so with their vehicles and when they're off-roading. So check those out. If just a quick shout out announcement for anybody out there that has a Morphlate. We got in the new bags for the Morphlate, and this is going to be the final bag design, I think, moving forward for quite a while. So if you want it, check out the Morphlate Instagram and send a DM there or shoot and get in contact with me somehow. We'll make sure it happens. But we're giving them out for free as long as you've already purchased or have a Morphlate in your possession. So it's just pay the shipping to get it to you or come by and pick it up, and it's free to you. So wanted to put that out there for everybody. Any last announcements?
No,
that we didn't cover during the
updates. No.
Okay. Well, then, do you have any final words for all of our people out there?
Get ready for SEMA Part Dos because you get to hear what happened to Jason.
I'm excited, and with that, my friends, keep crawling.